Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your Franchising 101 podcast host. Today, we have a guest joining us, and I'm super excited about this for a lot of reasons, we're going to talk about not just one franchise, but a franchise group that has 10 amazing brands underneath their umbrella, with over 2,000 units open just here in the U.S. and even more expansion around the world. But we're going to talk about, going to take a peek under the hood at all the different brands, how they differ, yet how they're similar, and then what are the benefits of being with such a huge infrastructure. But before we talk about them, let's give you a quick little recap on who we are. Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals who are interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with over 500 of the top franchisors in the country, not unlike the ones we're going to talk about today, and that spans nearly 60 industries. Our goal is to help clients find the absolute best franchise to own. And the goal of the Franchising 101 podcast series is to just help you educate you on all aspects of franchise ownership. So that's shameless plug portion of the show. Now let's get to the good stuff. So our guest today is the president of franchise development for Exponential Fitness. That is Mr. Lance Freeman. Lance, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Tim. Great to see you.
You as well. You are X marks the spot for everybody that can see this as well. And why wouldn't you want to see a couple of handsome dudes talking about franchising? So thanks for joining us, man. We got a bunch of stuff. We got 10 brands to somehow get done in 30 minutes. I'm no math major, but that's like 3 minutes a brand. So tell us first, though, a little bit about you. I'm always kind of curious people's journey into this crazy thing called franchising. So fill us in, man.
Sure. No, again, appreciate you having me on. I like to tell people I kind of fell into franchising. I've been saying over 25 years ago, but I've been saying that for the last few years. I think I got into it in 94. So we're getting closer to 30 than 25, I think, at this point. But no, it's a great industry. I actually started working for an original entrepreneur of a concept that he started franchising, and I became an early franchisee in that system. I had no money, but thankfully my parents backed me a little bit. And so I did well with that first one and was able to kind of buy them out, and which was the whole kind of plan from the start. And then I started scaling and started to develop more units, ended up with 6 units of that particular concept. And then I bought in those days what was called a master franchise. And then I developed that to about 50 stores. And then I was doing real well. I was in, I was in my late 20s, early 30s at that point. And I was approached by, some PE group that wanted to buy my business. And I was doing real well. I had no interest in selling it. But I think because I wasn't interested in selling it and they wanted it pretty bad, the multiple kept getting better. So I finally just said, you know what, I'll take some nice checks here and build something else. And so then I actually, the parent company that was actually flipping at that time was buying another brand, and they wanted me to develop it. So I hadn't really worked for a company, before, and so I'd always been pretty entrepreneurial. But I thought it might be something fun, to get into while I figured out what the next thing was. And of course, that ended up being a lot longer than I expected it to be. But it was a really great experience. I learned a lot from a previous COO of Yum Brands. So I probably learned more about franchising in a few years in that opportunity than I had in the last 10 in the previous one, but kind of a different learning experience for me, but it was all very educational. And then decided to kind of get out on my own and partnered up with some guys in a development company to start really developing emerging brands, which was also a great experience, having been on a lot of sides of franchising, especially on the operations side. And then met up with this gentleman by the name of Anthony Geisler. And, he was starting to develop this little no-name brand called Club Pilates with a few dozen licenses. And so we were able to develop that brand to about 500 licenses, and it went so well as you know, Anthony, just this tremendous operator, and then you know, us really being able to recruit, you know, highly qualified partners for the business, that he ended up buying my company, and kind of making me a partner in this, which has been great. And then fast forward, as you mentioned, you know, now we've got 4,400 licenses awarded globally. We're the largest, you know, boutique fitness platform in the world today. We just had our, you know, IPO and went public last year in July. And as you also noted, we've got 2,100 units open in North America and growing fast. So it's been an incredible ride for me over the last seven and a half years, you know, in this realm. And I like to tell people I'm a kinesiology and business major. So I'm literally, you know, living my dream here as a partner in Exponential Fitness. So I'm happy camper.
That's awesome. And the fact that you can major, that you could actually spell kinesiology, let alone major in it, you are a couple of steps ahead here. So no, and it's funny, pretty much everybody I've asked that question to, like, how did you get into this? There's some version of, I fell into it, it's dumb luck, it's this, it's that. And then, you know, years, decades later, I think it's just this amazing, like almost hidden world of franchising. Once people get in, they don't ever get out. They may move around a little bit. They may, you know, be on this side, be on that side, whatever, but it's that you get in. And as you've experienced, and I've been fortunate enough to experience as well, like, I'm not going anywhere. So it's just, it's so amazing.
It's so true. You know, and what's interesting is, I think for guys like you and I that have been in it for as long as we have, in our day, there wasn't, you know, any school for this. You know, you learn by either, you know, getting into the industry somehow. But now that you know, they actually have franchise programs in college, which is pretty cool, I've learned, but that didn't exist in our day.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. I knew it's been a little over 7 years and I didn't know the first thing about it. Right. And some might say I still don't, but there's at least been a little bit that I've learned over and just the, you know, the business being able to build and we've now got, like, we're on, my wife and I are, like, I met my wife through this, right? It's all kind of been originally driven for my kid, right? Just given that flexibility and freedom, all those things that all the people we talk to all the time are looking for. So super, super cool. So we've got, with Exponential now, we're up to 10 brands. So two part question. Can you list them and can you list them out? Can you list them alphabetically?
Ooh, see, I probably can't, because I always go in, I call it birth order, you know, cause I,
remember, okay.
I
there we go.
You know, the timeline, at least I can do it that way. But obviously we started with Club Pilates and actually I would say Club Pilates is really kind of our flagship and that operating platform is what we've really overlaid over these other modalities. We like to say we're really a sales and marketing engine, really masked as a fitness company, you know, but we acquired CycleBar as our second acquisition, which is really an indoor cycling concept, that kind of similar to a SoulCycle, although SoulCycle was obviously owned by PE. And so we saw a great opportunity there. And we felt that was a core modality that we absolutely had to be in. And, you know, very candidly, we bought it at its turnaround. You know, when we knew that, when we knew what we were getting into, we knew everything, all of its shortcomings were things that we did best, which we were really, again, the sales and marketing component of that. And we've, you know, more than doubled the unit volume since we bought that brand. So it's been just a tremendous brand for us. And we've got about 500 licenses awarded on that one, about 250 stores open on that one, and just a high performer for us. It's been great. Our second, third acquisition, I guess you could say, was actually StretchLab. And this one's a really neat one. It's probably exceeded our expectations on every level. I think we knew we would do well with it, but it was the one modality that was kind of not exactly fitness. You know, it was more, I would call it health and wellness category, but we knew it was a budding space and there was a lot of energy there. And we really like the concept. So we literally bought that concept with three operating units in Southern California. So just a true emerging brand, you know, have developed that to over 600 licenses now, almost 200 locations operating on that one. And it is just been a phenomenal brand. It's a smaller model, 1500 square foot model. It's our smallest investment of any of the brands, but it actually has the highest average ticket and drives some of the highest unit volumes of any of our modalities. So it's pretty neat what you can, I always kind of look at in retail, that's all, cause that's all I know, you know, what can you drive in terms of dollar per square foot out of your retail. And so phenomenal unit volumes in that one for relative to retail. So that was our third acquisition. And then we bought Row House was our next one, a brand based out of New York, which you're familiar with, and a great concept and such a broad market. And so we're really excited about that one. Same thing, you know, over 400 licenses awarded on that one and just trucking. It's been a really neat modality for us from the standpoint of it's one of those that probably I think appeals to a broader market than just about any of our concepts. And it's one of those workouts that everyone can do. And what we have found, you know, it's interesting that a lot of people are really, you know, you get people that are out of the rowing community that really love this brand and this modality and want more of it. And so it's been a great brand for us as well. After Row House, I got to make sure I'm doing this in proper order. we acquired AKT, which is people ask what that is. It's really one of our best HIIT brands. So we call it high intensity interval training, but it's a dance based, you know, HIIT brand is what we call it. Really first of its kind, emerging brand, first mover. There's no other, you know, nationally franchised models doing this today. And people love this workout. The president of the brand will probably cringe if I said this, but I always say it's like kind of, you know, Zumba meeting, you know, meeting HIIT, but a lot more fun, you know, and with a lot more variety. So that was our fifth modality. Then we made a big acquisition of Yoga 6. We wanted to be in the yoga vertical and we wanted to be into hot yoga, but we wanted to modernize it a lot like what we did with Pilates. And so that was a perfect fit for us in that we felt it was time for that in the marketplace. That one exploded overnight. It's one of those where I always say you didn't have to explain what it was. People knew, you know, it's yoga. So we awarded 500 licenses on that one in the first 12 months of its national rollout. It's crazy growth. But I think we've got almost a couple hundred of those open on that one as well. Brand's thriving. And it's done really, really well also coming out of COVID. And then we made really our largest acquisition in terms of footprint. And it's always been Anthony's philosophy is like, we either want to be first to market in an emerging vertical like AKT, or we want to be the best and the biggest. And so getting into bar, we knew it had to be Pure Bar. And so that was a big acquisition for us because it was, you know, they already had 500 units operating at that time and a 21-year-old brand today. So very mature, iconic brand. And it took a while to kind of pry that one loose, but we got it. And we've had some opportunities with that one as well, just again, kind of with our sales and marketing engine to really drive those unit volumes north. So we've done a great job with that brand and still growing. In fact, having its strongest openings we've ever seen out of that brand, even you know, pre-COVID as well, just phenomenal stuff going on with that brand. And then after Pure Bar, let's see who came next. It was Stride. That came next, and that's one of the very hot, I would say, trends in fitness is kind of the dedicated running trend, and so it's a treadmill based workout that incorporates, you know, some HIIT into it as well, and it's off to a phenomenal start. One of my youngest brands, you could say. And then I have two more. Sorry, I don't want to take up the whole time with this. Last two.
There is a quiz on this later, so just okay. Be ready.
Yes, all right, I'll be ready for it. Rumble is obviously our boxing inspired workout. Probably make not too far to figure that one out. This was a beast from the get go. Kind of basically created by a bunch of Hollywood and, you know, types, actors, singers, and Justin Bieber's of the world. But just a smoking hot concept. Had studios based in New York, in LA, San Francisco, Philly, DC, and some other large major markets. Unreal unit economics we were seeing out of this brand, and just an experiential beast of a brand. And that one's been off. We've only, you know, have rolled that one out for maybe about 6 months and have already awarded over 200 licenses with that one. And just, it's just a phenomenal brand. And then the last one to complete, Anthony says, the X, you know, Roman numeral X, although that was not our intention, and we will have 11th and 12th, but for now we can say the Roman numeral 10, we have 10, it was body fit training. We would call it BFT. And our first of, it's kind of a real true, what I call a group resistance model. And so it kind of fits between an F45 and an OTF, I would kind of say, in terms of a model that's really designed towards building muscle density and reducing body fat. And again, kind of in a 1-to-12 ratio with a true kind of science-based periodized workout. And that one is off to the races. In fact, we had our first confirmation day last month and we awarded 12 new partners, 42 licenses. So you kind of gather the trajectory that that one's on. So anyway, a lot of fun stuff, but that I think I got all 10. If I missed a kid, I apologize.
That's right. That's the kid we don't like. It's all good. It's all good. So, honestly, I was like, that was the one that I couldn't remember. The other nine, I think I at least had a pretty decent understanding of, and just the, I think one of the things too, it's like speak to this, right? Because there's, you know, good old Peloton, right? Like, you know, like, which, right. So, and with COVID, hey, we do everything from home, but as soon as everything started getting lifted, everybody just went zooming right back into all of your studios. So talk to us about that myth of, you know, like, oh, that's, you know, it's dying. It's not any good. We can do it all at home. Help explain how not true that is, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest false statement in the media. And I would cringe every time I heard it, you know, during COVID, that, you know, oh, you know, in-person fitness is dead and at home and digital is where it's at, which, you know, I always like to say the in-home kitchen has never replaced the restaurant either. And it never will. Right. It's just one of those things where people really crave community and they really want, you know, in-person fitness. It's been around for, you know, 50 years and that's not going to change. And it's not like digital workouts are new. Jane Fonda was around, you know, many years ago, how that kind of worked out, But the reality was that what we saw in our business, the real data was that our members wanted to come, if we were required by, you know, state mandates to, you know, close our physical doors and operate in the digital world, then we couldn't allow them to. But there was no question about whether or not they wanted to come or come back once they were able to. And as soon as those restrictions were lifted from us, you're right, we've seen that happen in growth. And what's interesting is, you know, all of our brands are now, you know, back to pre-COVID levels or beyond, well beyond that. But what's interesting is we're starting to see, you know, not only the segments that we had previously attending our brands, but now we're seeing new segments that we'd never saw previous to COVID, you know, segments that were largely sedentary. We had a pretty active segment that was really, wanting to be a member in one of our brands. But now we're seeing people that have been inactive, maybe on the couch and realizing that, you know, some of these variants are going to be around for a bit. And my best kind of protection, if you will, is going to be, you know, getting myself out of risk by making sure I'm healthy and, you know, getting on a fitness program. And we are on the beneficiary end of that because what, you know, and we don't celebrate in this, Tim, but almost 30% of our competition shrunk through COVID while we didn't close a single unit permanently. So we, in fact, grew 30% during that period, the only company in fitness to do that. So we're in a good position because there were a lot of displaced members, you know, that unfortunately their current modality or whatever they're working out in an independent is no longer there and they're looking for a new home. And again, we're on that receiving end. Same with the labor pool. We're seeing that with instructors as well, that, you know, we're looking for a new home to practice in. And again, we're on the receiving end with that. So it's exciting times for us. We are a publicly traded company, so I can say this. We've had 5 straight quarters of system-wide revenue improvements. So the business is extremely healthy for us. We're seeing utilizations higher than we've ever seen, demand higher than we've ever seen. There's just, you know, it's kind of the pent-up demand that people want to come back to this. Right. And you mentioned Peloton. It's kind of interesting because people would say to me almost like they didn't want to bring it up, like they were going to hurt my feelings. Like, how has Peloton affected your business? And I'd say, Peloton is the best thing that's ever happened to us. And I'm not kidding. Peloton is our number one lead that we go after in our brands, like a cycle bar, because they're kind of a bridge, if you will, for bringing that member to the in-person experience for us. And so literally they are our number one lead. They're easy to find on social media, so we target them. Right. And so they're dumping millions and millions of dollars into educating the market in this vertical. and then ultimately, you know, over time coming into our business. So we're sending them gifts at this point.
Well, and then they're at the treadmill, they're coming out with the Peloton rower, right? So all of those things.
Absolutely.
Right? I think that people coming back to the boutique fitness after COVID, it was like the back in the old days, right? The freshman 15, everybody gained, right? Then there was the COVID 15-ish. And most people are better around other people, right? And I think for anybody that's like from a, I don't want to get into some other things, but as a consumer, and I've done classes at a couple of them over time. And I've always been a more, like workout, like I got out of workout on my own type of stuff. But the class experience is fantastic. You there's no way you don't kind of get caught up in it, and you will have a better workout in that setting than again. And I'm, maybe back in the day when I was younger, but I'm too old. I don't push myself on my own nearly like I used to, or nearly like I would in one of those classes, because you got all the people, the energy around it, whatever. Again, whether it's are you spinning, are you running, are you rowing, whatever it is, that aspect. And I just like, you know, I now own like, you know, a full 2 shares in Exponential Fitness, so I feel like I'm part owner, so I can say this, like go to a class, pick one of these and go, and I promise you'll have a great experience. So no surprise that it's booming with this, right? So what about your owner model? And I think this is true for all of them, right? You're fine with that full-time owner, but this is a really strong semi-absentee model in most of these. And how much is fitness background experience really important? I think that's what a lot of people tend to think from a franchise perspective. I gotta be this, you know, like, oh, I just did the tour to France, therefore I can own a cycle bar, right? Talk a little bit about what that looks like for you guys.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a lot of misconceptions that I hear a lot of, whether it be, as you mentioned, hey, do I have to have a background in fitness or be a cycle instructor to own one of these things? Or a lot of folks, I'm sure you experienced this as well, that think that a lot of our franchisees or new franchise partners have a lot of business experience in owning businesses previously or other franchise concepts, which is so far from the case. Right. In fact, I'd say more, and that's why you look at a franchise model, because we've figured out everything that you need in terms of this blueprint, you know, to be successful, if you will. But no, it is not a requirement at all to be an instructor or even really be, to be a fitness fanatic or anything like that. I always kind of kid, but it's truth. I would say probably over 90% of my club Pilates owners, and I have over 1,000 licenses awarded on that concept, never took a Pilates class before coming to what we call a confirmation discovery day. Didn't even know what a reformer was for that matter, but loved that we were doing something great in the community. Loved that we're making people, feel better and impact their lives in a positive way, and love the business model because it's a very simple business model that's not employee intensive. You take that business model as an example, at any given time of the day, at most, you will have 3 employees working in the business. One of the neat things about the business model, well, this is across all our businesses, and why you mentioned it can be semi-absentee, is you don't have a lot of employees in the business, and it's a membership-based business model. So you don't have, collections, you don't have shrinkage, you don't have cash, you don't have, spoilage, you don't have, any of this stuff. It's all electronic funds transferred, and it all hits, every 30 days, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's all reoccurring. It's use it or lose it for the member. And so it's a really neat business model from that standpoint. So our franchise partners, really their role and responsibility is really simple. You mentioned, it's not like we won't allow owner operators, but we don't really want that for our owners. We want owners to really execute on the executive model. Those are our top performing owners. And those folks are managing the manager effectively, and they're managing the business by their KPIs, or their key performance indicators, their numbers. That's where they really sit. They're a leader in their business, but that is not a full-time position. I always like to say, I don't want you to become an instructor. I don't want you answering the phones. I don't want you cleaning the equipment. There's no office in these things. So there's really no place for you in the day-to-day operations or even inside the business. And so you don't need to be in it every day or every week for that matter. For most, it can be anywhere from 5 to 10, at most 15 hours a week. And I have hundreds of franchisees in my system that have other full-time positions that, and they, you know, own multiple units in Exponential that they're scaling over time as well. And then we have some that are ready to kind of build this business. And once they've replaced their corporate income, they want to say peace out to corporate America and, you know, keep scaling with us and keep growing. And that's great too. So we have all types, but we don't, again, want really the technician, if you will, to be the owner and become a slave to this. That is not our model.
Yeah. And I think industry is one of the biggest misconceptions, I think, in franchising period. We talk to people about this all the time. I always use the phrase, like, you could be the biggest slob on the planet and own a cleaning franchise, right? So it's your job to be the cleaner. It's your job to be the owner, right? And then some of the things that you'll hear now too over the last year or so, labor issues, all of this stuff, which I think a lot of times labor issues really mean, if there's an owner talking about labor issues, that they probably could point the finger at themselves for not being very good at managing and taking care of their people, right? But with all of these, it's a pretty skilled, passionate staff, right? So these people want to be there. And again, having been around a few of the brands, like, there's some serious, and I mean this in a positive way, there's some serious Kool-Aid being consumed on the passion behind it. So yes, you have labor and you will always have labor, you know, issues or turnovers, but this isn't flipping burgers, right? This is skilled, passionate, committed people that you've got on your team, which is pretty rare.
Well said. I always like to say you're the coach here, but you know, if you're looking at franchise models, obviously you've got a couple of avenues. So you can either get into an owner operator type of business where you're going, you know, just you're buying yourself a job, or you're getting into, something that's semi-absentee. If you're looking at semi-absentee, you're looking at retail. And if you're looking at retail, then you're going to have employees, you know? And so I would say, if you're looking at retail based franchise concepts, you want to look at, what does your labor pool look like? And so from my standpoint, you hit the nail on the head. It's not a minimum wage earner flipping a burger that you're going to turn over a lot of. And I'm not for a second saying you're not going to lose an employee ever in this business, but it's an employee that this is what they went to school for. They went and got certified to teach this. And this is their career path. This is, as you mentioned, that passion word. This is their passion. They're healers and they're performers by nature. And they really want to make a positive impact on people's lives. And the average instructor is going to make anywhere from, you know, $30 to $50, you know, or upwards of, you know, $50 to $60 a class. So they're not minimum wage. They have incentive-based pay structure, and they can build a full schedule to where they actually have a career with this. So we don't have a lot of employees. You know, no system or space is completely immune to labor pool issues, but we haven't seen significant differences in, you know, any of our challenges, you know, out of COVID. So what we have found, though, is our employees not sitting back on the couch collecting an unemployment check. Again, they want to work in our business. And so we haven't had significant negative impacts, you know, of what the labor pool issues that you kind of hear a lot of in some other spaces. We're very thankful for that. It's a great employee. And if you hit the nail on the head too, I mean, you'll talk to owners that will say turnover is almost non-existent, and you'll talk to others that have more. It's a largely management style, you know, and leadership abilities. And that's partly what we're looking for in a partner. But our best partners that do that well and take care of their staff, hire well, make sure they're properly trained, and then let them do what they do, it's pretty minimal.
Yeah. And I think that's where you go back. You mentioned, you know, you don't really need fitness experience. You don't really need business ownership experience. It's follow a system. Basically don't mess it up, but have leadership ability, get those people, because part of, and I want to make sure we touch on this before I let you go, the support structure from any franchise is pretty strong, right? They've thought of most everything. They've got somebody around that's going to help you with everything. Inside Exponential, with over 2,000 locations open, basically double that's awarded over, what, 10, 12 countries, something like that. The infrastructure and support is like borderline overwhelming, right? So talk a little bit, just kind of give us a piece of that. And I want to kind of share a story too from that perspective with folks as well. But the support, what are you getting with Exponential in general as an owner for any of these brands?
No, I appreciate you asking that question. And again, as you mentioned, in general, you know, franchisors all provide good support because they're motivated to do so. I would say this just to brag a little bit. I feel our support is kind of above the standard, if you will, and it really stems from our philosophy. And we're really candid about this. We're in the royalty business, and so the stronger our franchise partners perform, the better our company does. So we take the approach that we want to pour as much support into them as they will take from us to make sure they're successful, because we all win in that equation. But our philosophy is a little different. And then I'll give you an example. A lot of with hiring, a lot of franchisors will, take the approach that, they're going to give you some standard operating procedures on proper hiring practices, but then it's your deal, it's your business, because God forbid they told you who they thought you should hire and that hire didn't work out, then they feel the liabilities on that. Our philosophy is exactly the opposite. We would rather help you to recruit your employees, tell you who we think you should hire, help you with that whole, that whole process, because we've done it literally 50,000 times. So we've done it a few times where our new partner hasn't ever done that. So we'd rather take on the liability of telling them who we think they should hire than not, and hoping they figure it out. So that's our approach with really everything from real estate to hiring to marketing, is we want to provide really great support to set our partners up for success. Ultimately, it's on them to really leverage that blueprint for success. And that's the differentiator between those that do really well, those that do average, and those that are below average. But is execution really, and following that play, as we like to say. But we provide a tremendous amount of support there. I'll give you another example, real estate real quickly. Yeah. A lot of franchisors will kind of turn you loose to go out and find, your own broker and give you a few pointers on how to negotiate a lease, and then say, give you a little pat on the back and say, good luck. We have a full real estate team under our roof that works for our partners like it's their own money. And we have local brokers in every single market that we franchise in that we've been working with for years, that have relationships with these institutionalized landlords that we want to get deals done with. And it gives our partner a huge edge, in being able to first get, a great location, and then second, get a great deal on their lease and their concessions and all those types of things, because we're working hard for them on that front. And also to avoid any number of pitfalls that can come up in commercial leasing, because commercial leasing is very different. And believe it or not, probably not better than 90% of our partners have never negotiated a commercial lease before. So again, to set them off, on their own and hope they figure it out is, that's pretty scary. So we provide a ton of support in that category as well.
Yeah. And I think it's, what's funny is a couple of weeks ago, kind of the story I want to share is I was on the phone with somebody, one of our new clients, might've been our second phone call. And the person asked, like, well, why can't I just do this myself? Why do I need a franchise? Right. Which then, it's like you start laughing, trying not to laugh out loud. Right. And so I didn't even get into the real estate. I just went on the marketing. I'm like, well, yeah, just simple things like, do you know how to create a logo? Like a website, SEO, do you know what SEO stands for? Pay-per-click, social, like how you start rattling off all those things from a marketing standpoint. Just the what they are and how to figure it out, much less have a proven system in place, have the vendor partners and all of those things that you have. And then a couple hours later, I had an opportunity to be on a call with an Exponential with your marketing woman, who was amazing. And as she was rattling through all of this stuff, and it was, I'm telling you, it was like 2 hours later, in my selfish brain, I'm going, oh my gosh, this would be an awesome podcast, right? And just like you could take the Exponential out, but it's kind of that piece of like, this is why you do a franchise. It's all of these things, and you can overwhelm people with stuff. They're like, lease negotiation, right? I mean, I'm surprised it's as low as only 90%, or only 10% have done it, right? Because that's not a common thing, and most of the people we're working with, when's the last time they leased anything, right? Maybe a car, but they're not even an apartment or a house or anything like that. And all of the things that go into that, and the fact that you're in a situation with Exponential where it's not one single brand. Oh, it's CycleBar, or no, it's Exponential, and the buying power and things like that you're going to get, even merchandise, equipment, all of those things. You're paying significantly less, part of being such a large organization. It's a, I think it, I probably seriously, it's a own internal idea for me, right? Like to get some people like yourself on and just talk, like basically inundate people or overwhelm people with how much goes into the support from a franchisor. And you guys are through the roof with that, which is amazing. So
thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, the power of the parent company is really a neat thing I've really hadn't experienced until Xponential. Just brief example, now that we've got 10 presidents, you know, the 10 presidents get together every Monday for a couple of hours and share best practices and what's the things that are working, challenges that are coming up. So and they're all very talented. When you think about the brain trust there that you've got, when we have a great thing that comes up in one system, if it's transferable, we can overlay it in all of our systems, you know? So the power of numbers is definitely kind of a big thing. And I love what you said about the marketing standpoint. When people ask me like, well, how are you going to compete with this little independent business in the market? No disrespect to them, but you know, they're throwing it against the wall every month, hoping it sticks. But they don't have a national ad campaign or, a quarterly, local studio marketing campaign that they can execute on that and a full team behind them working on any and all initiatives for them. So it's just, they can't compete with that. And that's why the franchise model is so strong.
Yeah, exactly. Lance, we could probably talk about all this stuff forever. And I know you're super busy. So I want to kind of throw one last thing at you is just in general with Xponential, like anything else you would maybe want to share with people listening today about whether it's the parent company, any of the brands, fitness, franchise, it's your world, brother. What else you want to kind of share with us before we let you go?
Oh, gosh. Like you said, I could probably talk on it all day. Maybe maybe I'm a little bit biased on this, but I have been, in the fitness and franchising industry for literally almost 30 years. So I guess one of the things I would just say is it's so counterintuitive to a lot of people thinking that, oh, it's going to be really affected by a recession or, you're going to get destroyed, in pandemic or things of that nature. And, we did not close one studio permanently, in COVID, which is, we're really proud of that. But I've also been through 08, and so I'm hearing people, concerned about, an upcoming potential recession. And I'm not sitting here, saying, oh, we'll bring it on. But what I would say is, again, just to kind of show how tried and true the fitness category is, fitness was only one of four segments that continued growing after 08, grew from an $18 billion industry to a $21 billion industry from 08 to 2011. And so that's, it kind of shows how proven the space is. And what, this is not just what I think, it's just market research tells the story. People traveled less after 08. They spent less of their discretionary income on eating out and, vacations and things like this. But what they did spend on was health, wellness, and, and feeling better. Even great another example is Massage Envy. You could make a pretty darn good argument that, retail massage is an indulgence service, but Massage Envy had some of their best growth after 08 as well. Again, because that's a service that people did not want to cut because it made them feel better. And again, they focus inwardly. So nothing, again, as I said earlier, is immune to anything. But at the same time, we really like our opportunity to continue growing in downturns where a lot of other spaces can be a lot more impacted, by those types of things. And so I people ask me all the time, what's my worst case scenario here? And I like to say, we just went through it, which was COVID, and we're still here, So in any event, I'm proud that we've been able to kind of withstand some of these storms and are really stronger for it.
Well, and there's just an uptick now in health and wellness and the awareness of it and all of those things. So like, I just for you guys, I'm excited because that growth is like, that's not going anywhere. So absolutely. Lance, I greatly appreciate you joining us today. And I got to get some people on your team we had Christy a while back talk about Stretch Lab. She called me old and said I needed Stretch Lab because I was old, which was accurate, but still kind of hurt my feelings. Right. Want to get some of your team back to talk about a couple of the other brands. I might have one or two in particular in mind with that, but thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. It's been fun. Anytime. Thank you again.
Awesome. And for everybody else listening, as always, all of our loyal podcast subscribers, thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about any of the exponential brands, any of the other 500 plus that we work with, please reach out, francoach.net. Send us a message. There's never any fee for our service. We'd love to chat with you. You've listened to this much of a Franchising 101 podcast. We know you're interested. Get on the phone with us. Let's help you find that best match. Thanks everybody for joining us and have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Francoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.